Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. And we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on this Friday, April 23rd, 2021. We have been here on the radio 11 years now, into our 11th year, on KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. The Buckmaster Show has live listening. It means anywhere in the world you can hear our program at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith and his team at the Tucson Sentinel. Our thanks to Dan Shear and the group at Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Jim Ninsel and the Tucson Local Media Group. They have Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview is with the founder of Humane Borders, the Reverend Robin Hoover, who has worked for more than 30 years as a pastor and advocate for migrants along the U.S.-Mexico border, not only here in Arizona, but in Texas as well. He's testified before federal lawmakers in both the U.S. and Mexico. 21 years ago, he created Humane Borders with the goal of reducing the number of deaths among migrants crossing the brutally hot Arizona and California deserts. Reverend Hoover, who has a doctorate in political science from Texas Tech, is the only non-Mexican to ever win Mexico's National Human Rights Award. In 2019, just before COVID crippled the world, Reverend Hoover launched a pilot education program to educate migrants who are heading toward the United States so families and lone travelers will know what to expect as they approach and cross the border into the United States, with the aim of keeping them alive at a minimum and, if possible, keeping them healthy and safe. Joining us on the live line to join in the conversation with Reverend Hoover is the 2019 Arizona Press Club Columnist of the Year award winner Tim Steller. Tim has been covering the border since 1997 and is using his 2019 Eugene C. Pulliam Fellowship to study ways in which public opinion regarding the border and immigration policy are manipulated by politicians and governments on both sides of the border and by interest groups and advocates. Tim, how are you?
I am good. That was a very long and a complimentary introduction. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. You deserve it. And Reverend Hoover, you also deserve the rather long introduction I gave you, but it's good to have you back on the Buckmaster Show again.
Glad to be here and glad to be on with award-winning journalists.
There you go. Thank you very much. Immigration, the tug of war continues. It boiled down to a battle between Republicans and Democrats fighting over the word, is it a crisis?
Of course it's a crisis, but it's been a crisis in my life for 35 years, so what's new? We need to talk about the elements and not the peak.
It's almost like that movie Groundhog's Day, isn't it?
It's the same old thing over and over and over, and this administration right now is bringing out the same people and plotting out the same policies and trying the same ideas that they've tried for 30 years.
There is a new piece, and that's the children.
The children is a big deal. In 1986 was my first venture into encountering unaccompanied minors, and that was in South Texas. And at that time, there were only 500 unaccompanied minors in the entire United States. So the phenomenon of seeing this over 10,000, some will say 13 to 15, depending on how you count in the families, children is a new phenomenon, and they have a stunning lack of imagination of what to do about it.
Tim Steller, come on in.
Reverend Hoover, you said we're seeing the same policies more or less. Could you flesh that out? What are you referring to when you're talking about the Biden administration continuing past patterns?
On the Biden administration, I want to say, make several points, and you can interrupt me to expand one, but there's several. One is Biden is following Clinton in his public policy posturing and triangulating and trying to either be above or somewhere between the two sides. Biden, if you read any reports on what he's doing in migration, they'll say, well, there's all the conservatives doing this and the liberals are doing that. And Biden's trying to take somewhere in the middle. And the evidence for that is found that they're still building walls. Well, excuse me, I thought where there was not going to be one more foot of wall. They're still maintaining Title 42. Restrictions from CDC that have to do with COVID restrictions and immediate deportations. They're still talking about building new permanent type shelters or even tent cities. It's the continuing policies of administrations before. One of the biggest drivers of this whole thing is the fact that Biden is bringing in people that used to be in the Obama administration, Cecilia Munoz, and I called for her to resign 15 years ago. Publicly, you know, so much for my voice. But anyway, she is trying to put a warm, fuzzy face on migration and not actually do anything substantive.
Go ahead, Tim. Follow up.
Okay. This begs the question. It sounds like you think they should be doing something different. And can you start to spell out how your vision differs from what's been implemented over the years, as you've seen it, and it's still continuing with Biden?
Sure. Biden could clean this up in a matter of weeks if he wanted to.
And you told me before we went on the air, you think this whole immigration thing could be over in 45 days.
Yeah.
Well, how so?
I may be exaggerating a little bit, but we could have immediate effects. There was a time in this country when we resettled over 225,000 refugees a year, and we had that built up that capacity since the late 40s when we repatriated and resettled Europe and brought in refugees into the United States, and a whole bunch of non-governmental organizations, specialized nonprofits, mostly faith-based but not exclusively, were created, like Church World Service and Lutheran Immigration Refugee Services, Episcopalian Services. All the major left-leaning denominations had created an organization of one kind or another. Certainly the International Rescue Committee that grew out of Albert Einstein's work, et cetera, an interest in this area. All of these NGOs, I actually measured this back in the mid-90s. These folks were providing $1 billion worth of goods and services, most of it free compared to non-expenditures of public funds, to resettle people, to get them established, to do things. And so we went from 225,000 down to 15,000 slots, but they weren't actually filling all of those. So these are organizations that had the capacity, had the knowledge, had the goodwill, the compassion, the motivation from.
And what happened to them?
By the time Trump got through, they just destroyed it, because there is a small revenue stream that goes into supporting these organizations on a per capita basis from the government to these NGOs that gives them the capacity to maintain their staff and offices where necessary. But all of the other resources comes from the private sector, church sector, volunteers, et cetera, and tremendous amount of donations of in-kind things. It just went away. So all you have to do is pick up the telephone, call all the former staff, maybe 1.5 times their salary, and get them back in here and get all of these kids out of detention. You could do that in really short order.
And we wouldn't have tent cities?
You wouldn't have tent cities, and you would have more organizations doing the same work as Casa Solitas. You would have, I can't remember the name of the one in Yuma. I talked to Fernando Quiroz over there yesterday. We have the capacity. We may need to salt a few dollars down in the county here and there, different places to do this, but we could get them out of these Border Patrol processing centers and get them into the arms and houses of families really quickly.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, so essentially what you're talking about is using the infrastructure that has existed for refugees from more distant countries generally, but instead putting them to work on what are mostly asylum seekers, right?
Absolutely.
A kind of distinction without much difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. With children, it's you still have this long drawn out process of documentation, all this other stuff. But it does not have to happen while that person is in detention. That person could be in a local home.
You're not happy with the Trump administration. You were not happy with the Trump administration. And from what I'm hearing here, you are not happy with what the Biden administration is doing.
I'm very unhappy with what the Biden administration is doing.
So this is not a political deal. This is not Republican or Democrat as far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, it's a matter of a lack of imagination, a lack of a historical perspective, a lack of will. We can sit down in this country right now and have conversations about race, which we're having with George Floyd and others. And yesterday, I believe it was when we passed the Senate, going over to the House now. But we're not having a conversation about our brown neighbors.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, so what do you think, or how would you respond to people who say, well, you know, providing sanctuary or a place to live, at least for a time, just keeps the pattern going, that there's an unlimited number of people who would come to the United States, especially from Central America, but also other countries in Latin America, if we extend, a helping hand to the few who make it to the border?
Well, your question is predicated on the assumption that was made in Congress and in legislation and policy decisions that if we just, quote, send the right message, they won't come. Well, the message was sent. So we've tried it that way. We've tried every conceivable thing for enforcement to send every kind of message. We've ripped children out of the hands and arms of their parents. They still keep coming. So, it's time to use some imagination and use some resources that have been here for 75 years for dealing with refugees and other kinds of adaptations. And
the word has gotten out that President Biden has said, come to America. Why are they coming?
He hasn't said come. He has said we're going to deal with some of these particular issues. The asylum seekers represent a very small portion of those who are coming. So all of the message been sent, all of the means of enforcement have been tried. It doesn't work. You cannot get there from enforcement. You cannot get there by juridical processes. The only way you can get to solve this situation is through very creative political posturing.
Let me talk about one thing. Tim, we're going to break right here. And I want to talk about something, something that does work, Tim Steller and Reverend Hoover. Tim knows where I'm going with that. And that's comfort food up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Reverend Hoover, have you had the Danish Kringle up at Mona's?
I have. I'll speak well for it.
And it is a light and tasty multi-layered pastry filled with some, I like the almond, but there's strawberry and on it goes. They do a great job up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They have the formula up there for what does work for bakery goods. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. Open right now for lunch. I'll be up there for breakfast on Sunday morning. Come by and say hello. I'll be joined by a lot of other residents of Tucson who want a great breakfast on the weekend. Mona's Danish Bakery. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040. We could take a call here or two if you want to join in, listeners, with Reverend Hoover and Tim Steller. Be right back.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, the Reverend Robin Hoover, who was the founder of Humane Borders. Tim Steller is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Tim is on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Reverend Hoover, 21 years ago when you created Humane Borders, making sure there were water stations in the desert, Humane Borders has new leadership. Are those water stations still out there?
Yes, the stations are there. Doug Roop is leading the organization at this time, and what is happening out there is a lot of water is being consumed.
But people are still dying. People are still dying.
They're dying in record numbers. The problem is that the enforcement pushes the migrants into the worst terrain that cannot be serviced by a Humane Borders truck. So other groups, the Samaritans and No More Deaths, go out looking for folks, and they put caches of water in other locations. Many of those are not identified with flags or lights or anything else. So it is a very difficult logistical struggle to try to put water where the migrants need it.
Is there an agreement, perhaps a gentleman's handshake? Well, you can't do handshakes in this day of COVID, but is there some kind of an agreement between the Border Patrol and the humanitarian groups to not kind of stake out these areas and make arrests at the watering holes?
That's been on-again, off-again kind of a thing, and there's probably deals has to do with who's the chief at the moment and who's running which organization when and how sentiments are, but they've always been able to put out motion detectors in the areas and ground-based sensors and other kinds of electronic surveillance and agents anywhere near these folks. And we said, okay, that doesn't really bother us because at least they get water, at least they're alive, they're extracted from the desert, they can live to walk another day, maybe a different direction. So that's an on-again, off-again thing.
There'll be a new leader, perhaps, of the Border Patrol, and he's from here in Tucson, the chief of police, Christopher Magnus. Were you surprised on that selection that he would be chosen to head up Customs and, in effect, the Border Patrol?
I wasn't surprised. I was shocked.
Whoa.
From a I have a PhD in political science. So when you're doing a public policy search like that, that's a very deep selection from a very far away and someone that's not hasn't come up through the ranks or have significant experience with this size of law enforcement and this with this particular kind of mission. So, you know, I want to wish him well.
Has he reached out to you to be briefed by you?
Well, I have a letter from him saying that he would like to be briefed by me and others in this community about what they should know from our perspective here in Southern Arizona, which we're very willing and very able to give. I would say that the gentleman has a tremendous amount of information that he needs to consume in a very brief period of time if he's going to take the reins.
All right. Now, Tim Steller from the Star.
If you don't mind me going from questioner to answer for just a minute, interviewer to interviewee, I back on the question of why people are coming and how nothing has stopped them. I mean, isn't it pretty evident? I know from my reporting related to the state of Guerrero, the country of Honduras, it is, while smugglers may take advantage of dire conditions on the ground, it is the dire conditions on the ground that are the reason for people to come to the United States. I don't know. I'm just saying that because that's based on my reporting, but that's what you've seen, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I'll confirm every bit of that. I'll give you a couple of examples. So one of the famous ones that we use amongst my cohort is that I'll say Jose is a farmer and he's got four sons. He sends two north to sort of diversify his local economy, and they come back and then the other two go. We used to have circularity of people coming and going. So we build a wall. The wall actually has been documented in very strong social science terms to say that keeps people in. It makes it too expensive for people to go home and visit the family or go home for the holidays or something else or seasonal work and come back. It's too dangerous. They now have to cross in different areas, et cetera. They have to pay all this money. What we have done is create a system that transfers, the United States has created a system that transfers billions of dollars into the hands of the cartel, the people smugglers, call them what you want. And even under those conditions, the families who send somebody from Guerrero, from Tapachula, from wherever, Tegucigalpa, they usually know somebody in that network, in that system. It may be a friend, a relative, a former resident, et cetera. So they have, it's a personalized relationship, and these cartels are still sort of bankers and headhunters and tour guides and everything else. And so there's some relationship stuff going on there. That's one of the reasons when the Border Patrol does apprehend a group, the migrants never finger who the person is who's running the group because they may know them personally.
Hey, go on with, if you would, with that analysis of cartels as they're referred to or traffickers, human traffickers. I'll just tell you, I personally get frustrated with, I know that many of them are bad people or exploitative or even violent. But on the other hand, it strikes me they're just carrying out a service that the market has created. Well, not just the market, but border enforcement has created. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. The United States Border Patrol created the cartels, and they fund them, you know, indirectly. That's exactly what's going on.
What's the going rate to get somebody into the country?
When I first had my first experiences with migration was in the mid-'80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a smuggler, quote unquote, might be a butcher that worked for the grocery store in South Texas, and he would take off his apron at 4:15 p.m. and he would go down to the international fence that had a hole in it, and he would meet some people that they'd previously arranged to meet, and he'd walk them to the bus station, and he might get $20 for it.
Okay.
But recently, very recently, I was talking to someone. Without giving away too much information that I know extremely well from Honduras, and he paid $35,000.
Whoa!
To bring over five people that had absolutely no problem. They used the top of the line service, so that's $7,000 a head. Does not cover the expense from Honduras to the border, only crossing the border and getting to Phoenix.
And that's so, the white, that's considered like the white glove concierge service, but it is only applied to, it does not cover the transportation from Tegucigalpa, Honduras, or wherever to the actual border here.
That is absolutely correct. And Tim probably knows this too, that there have been stories of South Asian folks that have paid $35,000 to cross, but they're so rare. I'm just telling you that if you're getting the high-end stuff that's on the menu, it's $7,000 a head now.
Mm. Go ahead, Tim.
So would you? I think you're explaining there what you mean when you said the United States Border Patrol created the cartels, but could you connect those two thoughts? I mean, how is it that the United States Border Patrol created the cartels or these extremely expensive smuggling passages, in your view?
Okay, so we decided to make it physically difficult to get here, so we create these barriers, put up lighting, put up sensors, put all this infrastructure stuff out there that destroyed the environment, and it made it necessary for you to have some local information on how to navigate through all of that and go a different route than you used to go when you were coming here during the Bracero program. And so that started, you started needing that service. And then we said, we're going to make it fiscally difficult to get here. And so the done everything they can and bragged about driving up the price, like I said, from $50 or $20 to $7,000. And as you do that, it created this market for these people to provide you with all of that information, all of those services. You know, you were watching in video people crossing in South Texas, coming across the river. They all had ID bracelets. They've done their surveillance. They've got walkie-talkies. They've got... everybody's got their phones and maps that tells you how to cross, et cetera. It's a very sophisticated operation, and there's a lot of money in the system to get there. So this neoliberal economics, drive up the price, lower the demand kind of a system just is an utter failure. Then we've tried to do everything we can to move you away from the traditional known routes. And so that increases the need for a migrant to have a guide that's going to get them through a difficult situation. And then those migrants have heard about all of these horrible stories in their place of origin. And so they want the best. They'll pay for insurance. You know, you will get me there. You will make me well. You'll cross me three times if necessary, whatever. I want success out of this. That drives up the price. So, we have literally just set it up to where we're transferring billions of dollars to the cartel.
So there's an insurance policy that if you don't get in the first time, the policy could say, I want to guarantee the three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we talked about the high end. What are the low end prices?
I would have to talk to some people, but I suspect that you could still get from Altar, Sonora to Phoenix for about $4,500 right now. But you might have to do some dirty deeds for the cartel to do it.
What about the National Guard again being called out? What is your opinion on what the governor's doing? And apparently our two Democratic senators seemingly behind his action.
I'm dumbfounded because they just have we need to do something about the people who are living here, who are in violation of these administrative violations, and give them a status and tell them what we require and give them a term limit on a long-term visa. And then we need to do something about the people that want to come and participate in our economy, and just let the Border Patrol look for the terrorist. You know, what we're talking about is a mingling of our economies, and with willing workers being center stage. And enforcement is not going to change this picture. We need some serious, creative political maneuvering, and then allow the law enforcement people to go look for their bad guys. Let the Border Patrol Union take care of that and quit trying to be social engineers themselves.
What did you said earlier? The border wall was still. I thought it was halted.
No, sir.
The wall. The wall work is still going on.
Wall work is still
saying?
Going in South Texas. There was court cases this last week that about condemnation for eminent domain in South Texas, and contracts have been renewed. The people that are, I work with in South Texas are just banging their heads against their walls.
Okay, Tim, come on in.
Yeah, I believe, though, that in Arizona, at least, all the wall work is still paused. I read that in the International, the Nogales International, today. Nick Phillips is reporting they're saying nothing has changed so far. But are you referring then to the seizure of land?
Yes.
Well,
not condemnation through eminent domain and construction contracts have been let since Biden is in office.
Okay, I didn't hear. I didn't know about
Texas.
Construction contracts. Yes. So on the National Guard, now, one thing about the National Guard is, now, I don't necessarily believe the justification that the governor is giving, but they are people who can do humanitarian or at least logistical work, aren't they? In other words, if there's a lot of people coming across, they could potentially help with that.
Well, they could drive buses from these places where the Border Patrol's dumping them out in the middle of the night and get them over to Casa Salitas or welcoming centers in Phoenix or whatever. There are things that could be done, sure, if you're short of hand, but you would have more hands if you weren't having to keep these people in detention. So turn them out to the NGOs and let's get this show on the road.
Did you say the border deaths look like we're on pace for a record
horrible
year?
We used to, Humane Borders and other entities used to keep up with the fiscal year, October 1 to whatever. Humane Borders and others are now counting just for the annual. And we're already, I don't know, Tim, maybe you've seen something else. We're over 60 deaths, recovered human remains in southern Arizona since January 1. And those numbers are worse than anything we've seen in 15 years.
I know that my colleague Kurt Prendergast and partner Alex DeVoid are also doing some analysis of that I think is scheduled to be coming out in the next week or two. So look for that in the Star. That is the issue of deaths, where and how many, how it's changed. And yeah, it has accelerated.
All right, let's see. We used to see the deaths much closer into Tucson. We'd see them in the Nogales corridor. We'd see them in the Three Points to Sasebe corridor. Almost all of the deaths that have been reported in the last 3 months are on the Tonawatam Reservation, Bureau of Land Management, Ajo Block, Cabeza Prieta National Wildlife, et cetera.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in. Amy is calling us, or is it Roberta? Go ahead. Amy, it's Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
I didn't understand who pays all these thousands of dollars for these children to come through.
Who's paying the bill on the...
If a family is contracting with a smuggler to take a child across, so the family is paying the cartel and the child is the beneficiary, and maybe the family in the United States ends up actually paying the bill. Is that the transaction you're referring to?
Yes, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Why not just pass out birth control pills to these depressed countries? Because children really belong with their parents.
Well, I could certainly agree that children belong with their parents, and that's one of the things that I'm trying to get them with families. That's why I'm trying to get us to get over to the NGOs, but it's a little late when you have a child to be using birth control.
And so
let me just tell you something along those lines, just to be really clear. That's that whole idea of, you know, overpopulation, the people south of the Rio Grande who can't control their family size. That's really an old-fashioned concept. Mexico's fertility rate is way down. El Salvador is way.
That's true.
I'm just looking at it right now.
Two
children births per woman.
Let me jump in here.
I'm
a Texan. Everything's bigger in Texas. Remember, you can take every single human being on the face of this planet, put them in the geographical boundaries of Texas, and every single one of them would have over 2,500 square feet to play in. And if you stack them up in the high rise, you've got a whole lot more. So if you want to tell us that we're full, you don't understand the distribution and the demographics here. So, yeah, there are some areas where people live too close together. Big deal.
All right. Tim, a final comment. We're going to have to wrap it up with Reverend Hoover.
No, I'll leave it at that, Bill. It's very helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Reverend, thank you very much for coming in. Did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to share with us?
Well, I want to make one quick comment.
Go ahead.
Kyrsten Sinema and John Cornyn, two senators, are trying to build some permanent shelters for unaccompanied minors and for families and stuff. They're just bringing home the pork. I saw the drop the bill yesterday, and they're privatizing cruelty, and I just don't want to see it. I want to see this stuff get in the hands of the NGOs.
All right, Reverend Hoover, thank you very much. Tim, stay on the line. I'll have a few comments for you after we dismiss Reverend Hoover from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Reverend, thank you very much. It was good to see you. Always, always a pleasure. All right, we're going to pause right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. We thank Reverend Hoover. We'll be right back.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Stop by Green Things. Be a great weekend to do some gardening. The wind, I hope the wind is gone after a couple of days with some nasty wind and dust. Anyway, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, has been writing about the border since 1997. A very interesting session with Reverend Hoover, Tim. And one thing you got to wonder, the Reverend is not, he's not at all keen on the Biden administration's handling of immigration or the Trump administration, because he says pretty much the Trump administration did away with the NGOs, the governmental, non-governmental organizations, many of the religious groups who helped out. So I wonder why the Biden administration is not relying again on some of these religious groups.
Well, I think the idea that Reverend Hoover was talking about is that these groups were active in refugee resettlement, and so they either disappeared or became minimal in size because the Trump administration minimized the number of refugees coming in. So, I'm not sure if the Biden administration has even considered using them with the unaccompanied children or other people coming across the border. But I think the bigger picture here, if you analyze what he was saying, is that he's talking about a legalization or regularization of border crossing. What I like to think of it as is a turning of the border into something closer to Ellis Island. In other words, you stop thinking of it as a place of illegal crossings, and you try to accommodate demand to some extent and make the crossings that are happening anyway legal. Now, I should say they are legal in the sense that if you're seeking asylum, you can request asylum at the border. So, these aren't by definition illegal crossings. But I think what he's going at is the idea that we need to stop considering the concept of trying to turn people away with barriers and police and that kind of thing, and just completely reorient our attitude about it.
That'd be pretty hard to do. I don't know if we could. That's basically an open border.
Well, it depends. It depends on how you define who gets in and all that stuff. And the concept of an open border. It's interesting because on the one hand, yes, you let more people in, but you do it through ports of entry and you keep track of people. So, and you have some sense, you have some vetting of who's coming in. That's the idea. And that would mean that between the ports of entry, there would be fewer people coming across because, asylum seekers aren't going there. They're going to the ports of entry. So those who are crossing between ports of entry are much more likely to be criminals or other ne'er-do-wells with a lot fewer just normal people from Central America mixed in.
So what is new, and I think this is one thing that the takeaway message from Reverend Hoover, is the children. These large amounts of the report showing the dramatic increase in young people, youth arriving alone at the border. And I guess from what I heard with Reverend Hoover, if you have enough money, you could basically pack off the child to the border and almost assure a smooth crossing.
Yeah. Well, for children, not necessarily smooth, but, our system incentivizes children crossing because they are not allowed to be turned back the same way as adults are.
Okay.
So as a result, you saw when the Migrant Protection Protocol or Remain in Mexico program was going on that families were waiting in Mexico to be considered for asylum in the United States. Like we're talking about like a Honduran family in, say, Nogales, Sonora, or let's say over there in Matamoros across from Brownsville. And as time went on, they got more and more desperate. And eventually some of them sent their children across alone because they knew their children could get across. And once they were in the system, they could be taken in by family members or whoever they know over in the United States. So in that sense, we have perhaps unintentionally created unaccompanied children out of children who could have been accompanied by family members.
Tim, I've got about a minute left. What are you working on? What's the column in Sunday's paper? Is it about immigration?
Roundabout way. I mean, I'm trying to take in some of the big events of the week and give an explanation for them. I mean, the big thing that's happening today is the battle over the audit, the so-called audit up in Phoenix, which has really looked bad. A reporter for the Republic caught them using blue-colored pens at these tables, which they're not supposed to do because the ballots may have blue ink on them. And that came into play in a court hearing today. So that's an example, I think, along with the governor's border deployment of the National Guard, of kind of the governing philosophy in the state, which is something I think we need to get away from. And I'll talk more about that in the column.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim, for joining our conversation today.
Thank you.
All right. Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star with us. We thanked him for his participation in our interview with Reverend Hoover. It's the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition at 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Weekend Watch, and time to stir it up.
Baby, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and it is time to start planning to visit Silver City, where it is now 61 very pleasant degrees. It's cooler over in Silver City because it's a mile-high elevation, just like Denver. Good time to take that ride, three-hour drive over to Silver City from Tucson. Once you're there, there's a lot to do, lots of outdoor activities, and some great places to stay. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. The longtime host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show is award-winning Tucson publicist Matt Russell, who is also Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. He's a dedicated foodie and a really nice guy. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing great on this Friday, and, you know, I just pulled off to the side of the road here to park. I'm downtown. I'm heading into a lunch meeting, and I just have to say, I haven't seen this many people downtown on a weekday in a long time. It's so encouraging to see people out and about and shopping and eating and taking advantage of our community and coming out of their cocoons. It's just a feel-good moment as I'm looking around right now.
That is good news. And if someone would like to go to a happy hour, are there some choices or a pick that you have for our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I couldn't imagine being inside for happy hour today with this great weather we're having. My pursuit of patios in Tucson that host great happy hours often take me to Reforma in St. Philip's Plaza. This is truly one of the great patio experiences anywhere. Their happy hour offers some great beer and wine specials, of course, but Reforma boasts one of the largest tequila menus in the Southwest. Now I have your bill.
Yes, you do.
So, go ahead and embrace that spirit, quite literally, and order up some great margaritas and sipping tequilas, great happy hour dishes like the chorizo queso, the guacamole tropical. I think the happy meter will be off the charts today at Reforma.
We are so proud to have Tucson International Airport as a longtime sponsor. And things are bouncing back out of TIA, aren't they, Matt?
They really are. And when you think about airport, you don't necessarily think about, memorable cuisine and craft beer experiences, but delicious things are happening out
really?
At Tucson International
Tell
Airport
us.
These days. The latest example is the newest location of Tucson's own Barrio Brewing Company, right there at the airport in the pre-security area. You're going to find most of Barrio's flagship brews there with some of the dishes that are showstoppers at their headquarters downtown. And check it out, Bill. If you spend $8 at this Barrio location, you're going to get up to 2 hours of free airport parking. I'm going to drink to that. Barrio Brewing is at the airport is open for business.
What's that old song, another show, another opening? We've got another new restaurant alert for you.
I can barely keep up. So, Bill, you might remember that I made my very first visit to Greece a couple of years ago. We talked a lot about it on your program. And the day that I spent on the island of Santorini was spectacular in every single way. And this is why I am so excited to report on Tucson's newest restaurant opening, Santorini Greek Cafe, located on Speedway near Tucson Boulevard. Now, the owners moved here from Greece and brought all their family recipes for classic Greek dishes and other regional favorites that they say you won't find anywhere else in Tucson. And the setting, Bill, is straight up Santorini with paintings of the island's iconic blue dome churches all over the walls. I can't wait to get down to Santorini Greek Cafe this weekend.
And Inside Tucson Business food and beverage column?
Yeah, you know, I recently reported on the opening of Bondicted on Weekend Watch a couple of weeks ago. You might remember that. And I knew there had to be more to the story than just a great Vietnamese sandwich. And I was right, Bill. You got to check out my column to see what I mean in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Well, it's great to hear about downtown. There's a buzz again starting to happen down there. And we thank you for that firsthand report. Have a great weekend, Matt.
Back at you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That fine corporation is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my friend Christophan from Munich, Germany. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant longtime here. Everybody at KVOI, Bustos Media, including Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. All of us wishing you a safe and pleasant weekend.